The People's Republic of China is the world's most populous country. With around 1.4 billion inhabitants, it covers approximately 3.7 million square miles and is the world's third or fourth largest country by area. China is currently a communist nation, and regardless of how one feels about their Marxist political ideology, the reality is that it is hostile towards cultural and religious diversity and puts considerable effort towards hiding or eradicating its rich pre-communist history and ethnic multiplicity. Whether it be imposing severe restrictions on religious freedom, speech, movement, and assembly in Tibet, or the estimated 2 million ethnic Uyghurs currently in concentration or re-education camps, forced to give up their cultural identity despite being recognized as native to the autonomous region in northwest China. In fact, the partial genetic ancestors of the Uyghurs, the Tocharian civilization, were an ancient Aryan population that predated the Han Chinese people in western China by at least a millennia, leaving behind 4,000-year-old blonde mummies, some exceeding 6 foot 6 inches in height, with Caucasian features, and the landscape littered with dozens of ancient pyramids, which I've covered in a prior video that I'll leave a link to in the description.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Zhang Zhongkai, a journalist from Xinhua News Agency. Now I'm at the Lowland Museum in southeast Xinjiang's Ruochang County. This is Mr. Zhao Yingxin, and he is the former curator of the Lowland Museum. And the most impressive thing is that he once participated in the discovery of the most precious collection of the museum, the Lowland Beauty, Sleeping Beauty. So the mummy in front of us is the beauty of Lowland, and I think for anyone who first see this beauty, the most outstanding part of her is her eyelashes, which still stand out today.
She was discovered in the ruins of ancient Lowland in 2005. As we took a break during our patrol, we found there was something under the place where we sat. So we began to check up the place and then discovered the well-preserved and beautiful female mummy. The woman was about 25 years old, according to our analysis. She's 1.65 meters tall, and judging by her clothes, including the feathers on her head, she might belong to the dignitaries at the time. You can even feel the skin's elasticity when she was discovered. Now her eyebrows, eyelashes, and hair are almost intact. The Egyptian mummies were embalmed, but those in Lowland were made naturally. There are many sayings about the making of Lowland mummies, some attributed to the salty soil, sand, and dry weather. And based on my observation and analysis, the season of death is one important factor. Those who passed away in hot days might rot away soon, while those who died in cold weather might later become mummies, with mixture of sand and dryness. That can explain why not all bodies discovered here were mummies. There are many exhibits over there, such as handmade reed basket and boots. These were all discovered in Lowland ruins. The handmade reed baskets are like the handbags that today's ladies use. The production level was pretty advanced, as the basket can even hold water. The hat with different number of feathers on it can reflect the owner's social status. This hat has a rind made by the fur of a mouse. You can even see the mouse's head there. All these can show that these crafts reached certain levels in Lowland, which was an important stop along the Asian Silk Road as well as a place of cultural exchanges. Yes, there is a unique mummy here. That's one discovered from the Xiaohe Cemetery. Its style is very unique. These discoveries at the graveyard revealed fertility worship during that time. The cemetery was dated back to over 4,000 years ago. The ruins of a city were discovered in 2015, just about 6 kilometers northwest of the cemetery. That should be a unicorn. There is also a Buddha at the corner, and there is a smaller one elsewhere. There are also some foreign characters. Besides the introduction of culture from the central regions, the evidence of Western culture was also discovered here, such as paintings with ancient Greek styles. This is the copy of the famous male angel mural, whose painting style showed the integration of different cultures. Together with inscribed wooden slips, letters, and silk fabrics, we can see that Lolan was an important stop along the Asian Silk Road, featuring boom economic and cultural exchanges.
While the Chinese Communist Party tries to hide these ancient civilizations from the West, for example, by planting trees on top of the pyramids to make them less visible from satellite imagery, they try even harder to hide the origins of their first dynasties, which I'll cover in a future video about the Yellow Emperor, who's considered a literal deity in some Chinese mythologies, going back over 4,500 years. According to Meng Zi, a Chinese Confucian philosopher who lived around 350 BC, often described as the second sage, that is, after only Confucius himself, he asserts that many of the Chinese sages, such as Shun and King Wen, were not even ethnically Chinese. Shun was one of the foreigners in the East, and King Wen was one of the foreigners in the West. It's in this context that I'd like to start today's presentation, which involves an amazing discovery in an ancient Chinese cemetery built for the Han Dynasty elites. A trove of 2,000-year-old Chinese mirrors have been discovered, made of polished bronze and buried in ancient tombs and placed near the heads surrounding the skeletons inside. The graveyard is home to more than 400 tombs of the dynasty's elite, and a collection of pottery and bronzeware were also uncovered. Although thousands of years old, many of the mirrors are still reflective, with original details such as clouds and ancient Chinese characters. The mirrors range from just about 3 inches to 8 inches, and while the earliest Chinese mirrors date to about 4,000 years, it was not until the Han Dynasty that the industry began to flourish, when people began to produce them in vast amounts. Archaeologists have also uncovered ancient wine that dates back to the Han Dynasty, which is considered a golden age in Chinese history, with advances in science, medicine, and flourishing poetry, literature, and beautiful artwork. That said, there were forgotten cultures that preceded them, such as those of the ancient Aryans that introduced bronze metal and an early philosophy linked to Taoism and early Buddhism to the region along the Silk Road. And it is to this early spiritual philosophy to which these mirrors owe their origin to. While there's no doubt that Chinese elite use mirrors like we do today for purposes of vanity or to help put on makeup, but there was another practical use for the highly reflective artifacts, which is commonly known as scrying. Just like a crystal ball, this is an ancient form of divination involving gazing into the surface to see images or visions that are said to reveal something about a specific question, often asked during the performance of a ritual. It isn't about seeing the future per se, although historically, that's also one of the alleged uses, but more about revealing parts of our unconscious, or the collective unconscious, which we're all also a part of, and according to psychologist Carl Jung, we have access to, for example, during dreams. In dream interpretation, images and symbols are said to hold a personal meaning, and if interpreted correctly, can be read to gain deeper understanding directly from the collective unconscious. While we have a conscious and unconscious mind, the collective unconscious is theoretically connected to all of the other consciousnesses, so the insight is not restricted to the confines of one's own mind or experiences. A modern example of this is in 1914, after breaking away from his mentor, Sigmund Freud, Carl Jung began having dreams and extraordinary visions which suggested that something apocalyptic was about to happen in the world, which some claim pertained to World War I. Jung also made statements regarding World War II and the collective unconscious mind of the German people, but you'll have to look that up on your own if interested, as I don't want to be censored on this platform. I simply bring it up because of Jung's impact on the subject and the academic validity he brings to the concepts in alchemy, symbolism, and phenomena attributed to the collective unconscious. The word scrying actually comes from the Old English word descry, which means to make out dimly or to reveal. Therefore, scrying is about revealing the unseen through the use of our natural ability of second sight. Second sight is our capacity to see things that can't usually be perceived through our five senses. Other terms might be the third eye, the mind's eye, or inner eye, usually depicted as located on the forehead, which is said to provide perception beyond ordinary sight. In Indian spiritual traditions, the third eye refers to the brow chakra, referring to the gate that leads to the inner realms of spaces of higher consciousness, where the evocation of mental images can have deeply personal spiritual or psychological significance. Hindus also place a tilika between the eyebrows as a representation of the third eye, and Buddhists regard the third eye as representing the vantage point from which enlightenment beyond one's physical sight is achieved. Many occultists and adherents of Madame Blavatsky have suggested that the third eye is in fact the partially dormant pineal gland, which resides between the two hemispheres of the brain, and some research suggests is responsible for the production and release of DMT, a chemical substance that is said to be involved in psychedelic experiences. The third eye is often associated with religious visions, clairvoyance, the ability to observe auras, precognition, and out-of-body experiences. In Taoism and many traditional Chinese religious sects, third eye training involves focusing attention with the eyes closed while the body is in various qigong-like postures, including various prolonged positions during sex. Taoism asserts that the third eye is one of the main energy centers of the body, but must be activated by qi or ki, which is a transmuted form of sex energy, which according to Taoist alchemical traditions can be harnessed, redirected, and used to activate what they call the sixth chakra. I'll include a link in the description for a video I did on these Taoist techniques, or can recommend Montauk Chia, a Taoist master who currently teaches out of Thailand and has many instructional videos available online. That said, the use of the phrase mind's eye does not necessarily imply that there's a single or unitary place in the mind or brain where visual consciousness occurs, as from an experiential viewpoint, the consciousness becomes free and is not restricted to time and space, so the location between the eyes may be largely symbolic. While most archaeologists will claim that ancient mirrors were just about vanity of the rich Chinese elite so that they could admire their own beauty, I'd argue that a more sophisticated examination into other cultural depictions of mirrors, especially in a spiritual or religious context, will reveal a more esoteric or occult purpose for the mirrors, which not always, but in certain instances, covertly speaks to the ancient practice of scrying. Almost every culture has used some form of scrying, from the Native Americans' observation of smoke, to the Egyptian use of oil gazing or water scrying. One legend states that the goddess Hathor carried a shield that could reflect back all the things in their true light. From this shield, she allegedly fashioned the first magic mirror to see. In ancient Persia, the Shahnameh, a semi-historical epic work written in the late 10th century, gives a description of what was called the Cup of Jamshid, used in pre-Islamic Persia, which was used by wizards and practitioners of the esoteric sciences for observing all of the seven layers of the universe. Ancient Greeks and Celts practiced scrying using black glass, polished quartz, water, and other transparent or light-catching bodies. Nostradamus is believed to have employed a small bowl of water as a scrying tool into which he gazed and received images of the future events. In Arab countries, scryers have used their own polished thumbnails. The most famous user of the scrying mirror might be Dr. John Dee, a famous alchemist, mathematician, and astronomer who was also an advisor to Queen Elizabeth I on matters pertaining to science and astrology. As such, he was commonly referred to as the last royal magician, which I also covered in a prior video. Dee was an adept in Hermetic and Kabbalistic philosophy and spent much of his later life experimenting with different methods in his effort to communicate with angels, usually using a black obsidian mirror or a crystal ball. The Aztec priests also used obsidian mirrors for divination and conjuring up visions. Different cultures may have developed different techniques, but most will result in a state of altered consciousness that allows images to float into inner awareness. Some scryers claim to actually see the images appear on the surface of the mirror, while others say they see them in their mind's eye. But in almost all cases, there's a personal connection to the images which must be interpreted, which is interesting to note that can also sometimes be the same for people across vastly different cultures or time periods, implying a collective common influence, which Jung called archetypes, or primordial images, such as the wise old man, the child, the mother, and the maiden. My name is Robert Sepper. I'm an anthropologist. My published work is available on Amazon, as well as through various other major book outlets. They make a great gift. If you'd like to support my work, you could do that through patreon.com. There should be a link in the description section for those that are interested. I appreciate it. Thank you. Please hit the like button and subscribe for future updates. As always, I look forward to reading your comments, so please leave me your thoughts below. Please have a wonderful weekend, and I hope to see you again soon.